It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear. We're going to talk about it all. Yeah, that's right. All the other hosts, they tap dancing around the issues. Nope. We're going to get to the meat. One thing I did want to know, I want to ask you is, what kind of response did you get from the Republican Party itself? I mean, are they giving you all equally amongst you and McCain and Hayworth? They're saying, yeah, here's the voter databases, here's the list, here's the whatever. Treat you guys equally or what?
Absolutely not. They don't treat me equally. They don't. Most of the time, they don't even treat me with courtesy, let alone respect.
Well, who's they? They, them, those.
The leadership and the leaders of the different legislative districts. I don't get invited to a lot of events. I don't get invited to speak to a lot of legislative district meetings. They've pretty much tried to exclude me from everything within the Republican Party.
Well, how is it that you're surging, though? I mean, you're all I ever hear about. You know, the people are, entranced with you. They really were on my case to have you come on. And so I'm just like, why? I mean, how do they even know you?
The reason is because when I saw what the Republican Party was not going to even treat me nice, let alone fair, I stopped going to those meetings most of the time. I still go to my own legislative district meeting, but for the most part, I avoid those, and I go out where the public is. I go out to a lot of meet and greets at people's homes. I go to different Tea Party meetings. I go all over the place. Wherever people are, I go there and I pass out literature and I talk to people.
You know, the internet really has changed everything.
The internet changed everything.
The buzz can happen regardless of what they do. And I tell you, the one thing is that you get a more, instead of this polished, I mean, you really got to work it to get, John McCain to look good on anything. I mean, they're really, there's editors, man, getting paid some big money for that one. But you have, and if you get them, if you ever been in a room, you get them angry. I go, he's got another side. That's a good. You want to make sure you have your iPhone with that one. And then JD's the same way. Yeah. I mean, it's like they're the same version, just 30, 40 years apart or something. So how do they treat you?
I've only met John McCain at the debates, the night of the debate, the two debates. That's the only time I met him. He was polite, courteous. I didn't have an opportunity to get under his skin too much. I did laugh at him on the Friday night on Channel 3. That went over well. A lot of people liked that one when he said he didn't ever support amnesty. So I kind of lost control of my emotions.
That's the one part that I saw. That's the one part that I saw. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Wait, time out, man. This, seriously, you're going to let this one go by, JD? And JD, I you never get to anything on what he's about. He's always hammering on McCain so much. It's just it's really uncomfortable to watch, and that's why I just stay away from this. But, if the party's not treating you right, let me tell you a little story. In 1994, they wanted to have a certain candidate win. It was Kyle. They had a guy named Banks, Al Banks, and he was very populist. People liked him. They wanted him to run against him. It was an open seat. It was Deacon Cini had left. He was a Democrat, so it was an open seat. These two guys, whoever this was going to be the Republican nominee, that was probably going to be the guy. Banks was the one that had an initiative, axed the tax, totally do away with property tax. It was very popular. He's going. No way in heck were they going to give him any help whatsoever. No database, no this, no that, no nothing. As county chair in the Libertarian Party, our thing is that this database is derived from the use of taxpayer funds. I didn't pay for it. Just because I'm a libertarian, we get ballot status. They go, well, here, you get this free list. If you pay it for, you know, the current version of it, it's 10 cents a name in electronic format. So for a few million people, that's $300,000 for this list that John McCain gets for free. J.D. Hayworth gets for free. And they give it to you, you're getting an old list. Okay? So this is what happens. The Libertarian Party has always said, hey, man, it's taxpayer. You sign here, say it's for political purposes, illegal, and I don't know how much it costs us to do it in $50 or something here. Knock yourself out. Take it. Take it. Because it's a principle thing. We don't even care what your politics are. So if you need that list, I know who to call. Okay? You see my point?
I see your point.
Because this is how we deal principally with this. They used this ability, this power to tax everybody to create a list for them, and then they control who gets it. And it's all about who you get to vote for. It's all about who is available, has the availability of these kinds of lists to communicate with people. They control the media. They control the one thing they don't control is word of mouth, this microphone, and the internet. So that's where you have your opportunity. It looks like that's where you go. I go to Jim's principles. First one, America's good. Yeah, where'd that come from?
That came from Glenn Beck. I'm a 912 candidate. I signed the 912 pledge, and that's their principles and values.
You know, all right, I keep hearing this 912 thing. I know nothing. Tell me. What is it?
Well, it's supposed to be a philosophy. America is good. The American people are good people.
Yeah, let's go there. American good people might be good. Don't be putting the government in with that, because don't even start with me.
Yeah. The government's been out of control, and I think that's basically what the 912 is about, is the federal government's out of control, and the people need to take control of the government back, because this is supposed to be a government of we the people, by the people, for the people. And when I go to the Tea Parties, you ask my Tea Party speech, I ask them how many branches of government there are, and they all say three. I say, no, there's four. The most important one is we the people.
And then the press, and then the banks, and then, it just keeps going. You know, my understanding of how real politics works and how the government really works and how, you know, our role is, I've been doing this for 22 years. I've been there, done that, got all kinds of T-shirts. And matter of fact, we make our own T-shirts. I mean, you know, we just, you know, keep regurgitating old slogans with new fonts and, you know, get it updated. Yeah, your daughter will wear them, okay? But the thing is that what I'm really concerned about is someone that would have such a powerful position as you, because I ran for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I ran against McCain. I had a good old time with that. I was pointing out all kinds of stuff. And I was the highest third-party vote total for a federal race, a statewide race in the nation. They're like, what the heck did you do? I go, I told people to not vote. They go, yeah, whoa, I don't think that strategy worked for us. So the thing is that I'm going after the end of this campaign, win or lose, by your being there, you're hoping that the people at least got an example of what? How have you changed the voters, their minds, how they think?
Let them know that you don't need to be a multimillionaire to run. You don't need to have a multi-million dollar advertising campaign to drive a message. And that's what we're trying to do, is educate the voters. Tell them that they don't have to stick with these career politicians. They do have a choice. We the people have the numbers. And when you have the numbers, you can actually rule. And that's what we need to get back to, is where we control our own lives. We control our own destinies. And the career politicians and the federal government just do the limited amount of work that they're supposed to be doing.
You get in there, I guarantee, man, they're going to be lined up and telling you how business is done. You know,
That's what I've been told.
Well, so what's going to be your response? How are you going to, I don't know, use the system, be part of the system? You know, we got examples. I mean, you know, there's always exceptions that prove the rule. You know, like Dr. Paul. You know, I would imagine they don't even bother him anymore. You know, but there are some people like, yeah, no, we could further your Fed bill. You know, get one more committee level, one more level, if you would. You know, kind of whatever. Then we get Sarah Palin endorsing his son, and Lord knows what came with that. And then you get, you know, so I'm going, you know, what is some of the issues that you're willing to, yeah, I'll bend on that one as long as I get this. What is it you're this? What's your important they could entice you with if you could get the federal government to do or stop doing something? What is it?
My thing would be if they said, we'll never grow the size of government, we'll never borrow another dollar. That's what I like. That's what I want to do. I want to stop borrowing money. I want to stop going into debt. I want to reduce the size of government. I want to get rid of a lot of departments that are not constitutional. That's what I want to accomplish. I don't want to get anything new. I'm not going there to get anything new. I'm not going there to make any friends. I want to get our government back under control so that we, the people, have freedom and liberty again.
What's your faith in the electoral process itself? I mean, you know, we got, you know, there's some concerns there.
I have to have faith in it because it's something that I don't control. And whenever you can't control something, it's not worth your time to worry about it. So I'm having faith in it. I'm having faith that enough of the American people will go out and vote that it won't even be close and they won't be able to manipulate it.
Cool. Well, that's, you know, I boot that. You know, let's go ahead and give it what for, see what happens. But I'm telling you, you know, there's one of the concerns that I have is that you not be allowed to get your message out. And that's why I wanted to help. Because I can tell you, you know, that's one thing. That, it doesn't even matter the vote totals or the media. They want to control what the people are exposed to. And I don't want to control it. I want to let people make up their own mind. We're going to continue providing some information so you can do that very thing here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jim Deacon running for U.S. Senate.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We have Jim Deacon in. He's running for U.S. Senate for the Republican nomination against John McCain and ex-Congressman J.D. Hayworth. And I'm just, I wanted to give you an opportunity to come in and get on record here because nobody ever gives you the opportunity to just, you know, say what's what and ask you the right questions, in my opinion, you know, such as, what if you win, then what? You know, I mean, there's a lot of issues that we need to get into right now. Let's go ahead and talk about the wars. You know, I mean, what? Did we come out okay on this thing? We're better off? What?
Well, when I win, it's going to scare the pants off Washington, D.C., because both of my opponents are spending so much money, and I am not. And so that's going to scare Washington, D.C., and I'm going to work to get other people elected that share my principles and values.
Well, how much are they spending? Let's go. You bring it up. How much are they talking about here?
$20, $30 million probably. I think John McCain's up 20 already, and J.D.'s over three. J.D.'s over three. So, yeah, lots of money. My whole campaign, I've only raised $45,000. I've been running for 20 months on $45,000.
Well, you know, and people know you're there.
And people know I'm there, and I was sitting there during the debates at the same table and making my message loud and clear while the other two pointed fingers at each other, making my message that they're both the same, they both did it, and they're both guilty.
Yeah, that really was kind of the takeaway from that. You know? And I wonder, but a lot of people, they're always looking at it as a horse race, though, you know, as if they get something extra if they get to pick the horse that won. And I'm really, is that how you do it? I look for the opportunity, if you're going to have vote totals, that they represent a block of votes that are attributed to a very clear message. Because that means that message has to be part of the next election cycle or the general election or the culture here in Arizona to get those votes. That's why we've been big on this concealed carry thing. I mean, I did the original initiative back in 94, unrestricted concealed carry. They go, well, we got to, nope, not sad. Did a referendum against it immediately. Nope, no permit. I'm going to ask the man for permission to fend against the man. Is that how that works? I mean, you know, so we just keep hammering on this and hammering on this. You speak before our safe Second Amendment is for everyone organization. Are you a safe senator or an unsafe senator, you know? And only before you could even talk, you always had to get a color photograph holding a black detachable magazine pistol grip battle rifle, and then you could talk to him. If you weren't willing to do that, you don't get to talk, man. It's just the way it worked. Trent Frank showed up.
Can I bring my own?
Yeah, see, there you go. And now everybody's got it because the culture has changed because we did that so often for 20 years. What happened is the political landscape changed where that's exactly it. Yeah, I got one in my closet. I mean, you know, heck, I got one on my bed. I mean, you know, so this is how the culture has changed. Trent Franks, he shows up, and he has this, looks like a 20-gauge shotgun. It was a Rhino rifle or something. It had this big bullet. And, you know, I was telling that story. Somebody goes, yeah, it is appropriate. He brought a Rhino rifle. You know, I'm going, oh, I never even thought of that. That was good. So so these guys are, you know, they want to talk the game. But, I mean, do they, you know, I just want to know that when you get in there, that you're going to understand what put you there. And if you didn't get in there, the people that voted for you, and you get your 20% or 10%, whatever the heck it winds up being, that it represents a block of votes that then they have to go over. Because I tell you this story. J.D. Hayworth in 96 and 98, they had the same race. It was Libertarian Bob Anderson. I was his campaign manager. Steve Owens was the state chair of the Democratic Party, and J.D. Hayworth. It was Anderson, Hayworth, Owens 1 and 2, 96, 98. 96, Hayworth was like, you know, my liberal opponent, that's all he'd ever say to the Democrat. They wouldn't acknowledge the Libertarian there. It was so close. Bob represented like 10 times the difference between the two. It took 2 weeks before they even knew who won. The next race, oh, my friend Bob. Oh, my Libertarian, but I'm Libertarian. I've seen the light. I have seen the light. And, you know, he won. Later, of course, he'd lose to Harry Mitchell, very liberal, corrupt politician from Tempe. I'm like, what the heck happened there? You know, I don't even know what's going on there. I don't trust the system. So I know you have to have faith in it. But I'm just going, when you go to Washington, what is the takeaway that the voters got? They voted for what? They got what out of it? What represents them? I'm a Deacon guy. What the heck does that mean?
It means that you believe in individual rights, individual freedom. The little man can be strong if we have enough numbers, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the numbers to give the little man a chance to go raise up over the money that's being spent by the big politicians, because that's how Americans have power. We don't have power by trusting our government. We don't have power by trusting our state. We have power when we come together in numbers and take the power away from the federal government.
At the ballot box?
Well, at the ballot box is a great place to start, and not everybody's been doing this for 22 years like you. Some people need baby steps to get started. So we'll start with the ballot box, and we'll see where it goes.
I tell you where my focus was. It was the kids. Mm-hmm. It was my children. It was, you know, that's what this Lovevolution was all about. Mm-hmm. I knew who these guys were. I was them.
Yep.
You know, I started off like I knew exactly what they were looking for.
And that's why I'm getting a lot of phone calls from people in Sun City, because they're worried about the future for their children and their grandchildren.
Do you really think the older generation are ready to give up their perks?
Yes, absolutely. I think they're not necessarily ready to give up their perks, but they're ready to give up whatever it is that's been going on for the last 20 years. They're not comfortable with
it.
They don't like it. They don't like that every time they turn around, every campaign season, everybody's saying Social Security is broke. They're getting this. They're tired of the fear-mongering. And they want it resolved. If it's broke, let it go broke. We'll start over. If it's not broke, quit saying it's broke.
Broke.
Oh, yeah.
it's done. It was done a long time ago. You know, but now we have, you know, that's one, you know, when the Keynesian, let me tell you what the end game is in the Keynesian thing. You can sit there and say all you want and borrow all the money and stimulate all you want. But when you get to where your debt service, when you got to pay out more than you can take in any kind of revenue tax, regardless of what the debt is, they think debt's good. Debt, don't care about debt. But when you just a service on the debt, when you can't even pay the interest, you can't pay, it costs more to do that than all the revenue you could possibly bring in, it's over.
Right.
It's done. Yeah. Done. Here comes hyperinflation. So this is, you think the older generation, you go and you talk to these people, or are they thinking there's some kind of save, or they can kick the can down one more election cycle? Or
no, they don't. The ones I talk to, they don't believe it can be kicked anymore. They believe it's been kicked as far as it can go, and that's why they want to get people back to, regular citizens back to Washington, D.C. They want to have a choice. They don't want to keep sending these career politicians back over and over because they don't solve the problems. They just kick the can down the road, like you said.
Well, how are we going to solve the problems? I mean, you go down. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, you know, one of 100 voices is a heck of a lot better than one of 300 million. I mean, you know, you get to have a big pulpit there. But, you know, you're going to deal with these guys because, you know, to think that any of these guys up there are any different than McCain is, you know, be naive.
Right.
So, I mean, you go in there. Are there any good guys in the Senate that you know of?
Not that I've been able to find. There's some guys that talk good. There's some guys that say good things, but their actions don't necessarily mimic their words. So that's why I believe in no incumbents. Get out of my house. Get out of our house. Whatever you want to call it. We got to get rid of these career politicians. We got to get people back in, citizen candidates back into Washington D.C.
What's the role of the federal government in relation to the state? They should be doing what?
The role of the federal government to the states?
Yeah, I got this Department of Education. Do I need that?
No, we don't need that. We don't need the federal government telling us what to do at all. The federal government is responsible for international affairs, basically. That's what its responsibility was initially. Protect the states from invasion, protect our trade agreements, make sure we have a good relationship around the world. That was the role of the federal government. Everything else is supposed to be provided by the states. Anything the citizens want, the citizens are supposed to ask the states to provide for them. If the citizens don't want anything, if they just want to be completely left alone, they elect people to their state house and state senate to leave them alone.
Yeah, you know, I don't even want to have to elect them. I just want to leave me alone. You know,
unfortunately, that's where we live.
You know, and that's one thing that we'll talk about. We'll get all philosophical when we come back and see how far we can bend this government thing. Can we, you know, have people exist in this country that just really, really, really want to be left alone? Or do you got to force them into something? Are we all in this together at the point of blade? I don't know. We'll ask Jim when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free.
God knows. Yeah, and everybody else, too. And Jim knows. I've been hammering on him, man. I just want to break free. You going to help me break free? Are you break free, your guy? I don't know. Let's go ahead and talk about the war, okay? Now, where were you? I mean, you know, it's the internet, man. I remember everything. I just ask him right here. You know, you go to – that's why a lot of these guys are running. They don't even understand. All I got to do is push a button. You know, you're 18, 19, 20 years old. You go, I can find out everything I want about you. You know, seriously, you're going to sit there and lie to me? You know, so this is, you know, a lot of times you just got to, you know, either take a breath and find out what you really want to say, or maybe you're just built to where you can just ramble on. Well, let me go ahead and give you a chance to ramble.
Give me a chance to ramble on.
Let's preface it this way. We have 9/11 happens. I mean, you're a drum beater at the time?
I guess I would have called myself a drum beater at the time. I was afraid of what happened, watching the planes, waking up in the morning, watching the planes fly into the buildings. That it concerned. I was afraid of that.
Okay, so we go to Afghanistan. We, you know, get lied into Iraq and so on. I mean, was there a point that you're saying, it's no longer prudent at this juncture. Let's bring him back. Or you like, we need to finish something? Are you mad at Obama for even saying he's bringing the combat troops out? I mean, even though it's all, you know, veneer. But, I mean, you know, what is it that you think should happen in the Middle East?
Well, from day two, it always seemed to me like we weren't even trying to win in Afghanistan. It looked like we were more concerned about hurting people's feelings. We didn't seem to be effectively waging war, and we weren't, because we didn't declare war. We declared this use of force thing, and that was my biggest problem. Is Congress isn't supposed to declare use of force. Our military is not supposed to be the world police. We're not supposed to implement our will onto other countries. That's why a lot of them don't like us. Afghanistan in particular has always been politically fractured. There have always been little tribal leaders in different parts of the country, and they don't even hardly have a central government to begin with. And we can't win by killing people in that environment. I'm a firm believer that we should use our trade policies. If somebody has training camps in their country, we shouldn't trade with that country. That's what the Founding Fathers wanted us to use. They didn't want us to use a military to go tell people how to live their lives and how to run their countries. If we don't like you, if you don't like us, then we don't trade with you.
Am I, as an individual, allowed to do them? Is that the federal government's role, is to say what I can and can't trade with another human being in Iran? I mean, you know, I'm going, yep, I want to sell my widget. Hey, you know, I'm a 20-year-old whatever that needs a widget for my new little bicycle, de la whatever. I want to buy your widget. No. Federal government says you can't. You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a restaurant owner, I had a lot of people come there. You know, I got to fill out the I-9. Under penalty of perjury, the documents presented to me by this person appear to be genuine to me. Yep, they look good to me, man. You know, put them in there, copy them, put them. You know, the problem that I had was this. If I have a voluntary contract between two consenting adults, It drove me crazy that I have to go to a federal government to ask permission to do that. And then I'm going, you know, even in the document, it says this person has a right to work. I'm like, here, fog this mirror. You got a right to work. It's just a verbiage of it, the way they would do it. Who I got to ask, under what conditions. It just drives me crazy. So now it's like I want to sell my product to anybody in the freaking world that has access to Federal Express and eBay. And I got to go through the federal government on this thing and what your opinion is in the Senate. You see my point?
Yeah. Well, it is. That is the government. That is the way the Constitution's written. And I stand by the Constitution. And I understand the libertarian point of view. We should be able to have a free and open world where everything's everybody is able to work together, but we don't.
Yeah, we do. It's called the black market. Get used to it. You know, you think we don't? I can get whatever drug I want here and probably, I don't know, a couple of phone calls. You know, I had to go up to the corner up here. You know, this is to think that you can have this kind of control. I tell you who makes the most money. Who makes the most money off the drug war?
Probably the federal government.
And the drug dealers. You know, both of them. They're going, oh, yeah, we like it illegal. That's good. You know, it's like going to the gangsters in the roaring 20s. They go, well, where do you think we got all our money? It was from Prohibition.
From Prohibition.
So, yeah. I mean, so let's go to the drug war. Well, we'll get to that. Let's go ahead and finish on the war here. What do we think we should do in Afghanistan, Iran? I mean, in Iraq right now. We'll get to Iran in a second. But Iraq, should we be there?
No.
What about all these permanent bases they built?
No.
What about Iraq, Afghanistan?
No.
And we need to bomb Iran?
We have no use. We have no reason to be there. We don't have any reason to bomb Iran. If they're not attacking us,
well, that's what McCain's saying. He's got a song, man.
He wants us to have a 100-year war. Yeah, yeah. That's what he wants. He wants us to have a 100-year war because I don't know why. All it does is make government bigger and stronger, and that's not what we want. We want more freedom. If we want more freedom, we want more liberty. We have to reduce the size of everything.
Well, I mean, coming out of this campaign, are you a peace candidate now?
No.
I mean, you know, I mean, what are you?
No, I'm an American. I'm not a peace candidate. We do have to have wars occasionally when people attack us. We have to be able and be willing to defend ourselves.
Well, was 9/11 an attack, a police action that we should have? How should we have handled that?
Well, this is a difficult one because I believe that we were attacked. I believe that we should have gone in with full force and might of the military into wherever the people were trained. We should have done that. George Bush said, if you're either with us or against us, but he didn't live by that. He allowed them to continue expanding their training camps into Yemen and some other nations.
They needed them to expand. I mean, you know, I don't trust these guys. I don't trust. Do you really want to put the future of your family and everything in the hands of a government to go do what? I mean, I guess at least you're advocating a declare war or something, but
yeah. Declare war, go fight and have an objective. We're going to go fight. We're going to destroy this area and then we're going to come home. That's what we should be doing.
That's what they're screaming right now. You know, Israel's got, another 2 or 3 days to bomb Iran, get them nuclear facility. Here's a good one. No, this will get you going. I'm going, Iran can't have nuclear weapons, and I'm going, why? Why? I'm just wondering, why shouldn't Iran have nuclear weapons? We're surrounding them. We got every country. We kick the butt out of everybody around them. We're threatening them with death, dying, and destruction. We already replaced their democratically elected leaders in the 50s. We put it, they had to suffer the Shah that we supported all this time. They did. It's not like they forgot. We're threatening them all the time. They're axis of evil, blah, 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 blah. If I was them, I'd be going, a nuclear weapon would be good right about now. North Korea. They go, yeah, we got them. They're right here. You want Polaroids? Here we go. Yeah, got missiles, too. Nah, 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 nah. And China's sitting back there. I think Iran's probably smarter not to have them. They have nuclear power, whatever they can get away with there, I think. But I'm just, that's not the point. The point is that where do we have this moral stance or policing or whatever? Or how is it that we can make a determination that we go to this country and say, no, you can't? Because what?
We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to be the world police. We're not supposed to tell people how to operate their countries. It's the big UN thing that put all this together, and that's why I don't support the United Nations either.
One of those get the UN out of the U.S. and U.S. out of UN thing?
I am, yes.
Okay, then what, are you going to put something in its place?
No. We don't need anything in its place. We need every nation to operate under its own rules and under its own either freedom or dictator or whatever, however they want to run their country, they should be allowed to run their country.
I want to run my country all by my, you know, population of one.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah,
you can buy an island off of Brazil for about $200,000.
We're looking. You know, the thing is that, you know, that concept of, you know, this buy for of we the people, and I'm going, don't put me in your we. You know, a lot of people, we talk about war and again, Vietnam War, they go, well, we who? You know, I mean, don't put me in your. I'm always included in your we. You know, this is. Am I allowed to be left? At what point am I not allowed to be left alone? When is the federal force of government with Jim Deacon behind there doing the golf clap? You know, coming to get Ernie. I mean, when does that happen? What is it that I'm not doing that I have to do?
I don't know the answer to that question, actually.
Well, I mean, it's property taxes. It's, you know, you got to do federal eminent domain on me. It's in the Constitution. You're going to take it for public use. I need to put a, you know, federal park here or a freeway or whatever the heck. We got better use for it. And gosh darn it. You see my point? Mm-hmm. I'm like, when do I get to be totally left alone? Where do I got to go? I mean, I have to move. I mean, you're saying all freedom-oriented people aren't allowed to be in the free country of the United States anymore. I mean, this is where I'm going. I'm just I'm trying to find out from you. You get into Washington, you're going to be insulated from me. You're not going to have to talk to Ernie anymore, okay? And Ernie's still going to be back here going, hey, man, you know, Jimmy, I remember, you know, I was telling you, I just want to be left alone. And your response is, except when what?
Except when you choose not to be. If you choose to own property in the state of Arizona, the town of the county of Maricopa imposes property taxes, you choose to pay those, then that's your choice.
I have the freedom to pay my taxes. Okay.
Or you can have the freedom to go live somewhere else.
You know, this is where we're going, you know. We're going to talk about people that are born here. My granddaughter got, while she was in my daughter-in-law's womb, had a big giant dump of debt added to her. How is it her debt? We're going to talk about that when we come back in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
For here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. How about some truth, justice, and what used to be the American way, wherever the heck that was. You know, and Jim had to step out for a second. Yeah, here he is. You know, I asked you that, Jim. The truth, justice, and the American way. What is the American way? Do you even know or remember? We got to go ask Superman.
I think we should go ask Superman.
I just, you know, I used to, you know, I believed in America as much as the next guy. You know, I remember what they told me in junior high. You know, I got it. You know, my whole thing is that, you know, America stood for, you know, the little guy. You know, the bullies that would, you know, come. Even if you were, before I even became principled and aware about how much I'm going to use somebody else's tax money to go save somebody in another country, at least I was under the impression that we were for individual rights, even if they were outside of our jurisdiction doing something else. But comes to find out, it's always taking money from poor people in rich countries and giving it to rich people in poor countries. You know, it's always a transfer of wealth from, you know, buddy to buddy to buddy, and this, you know, in the name of some downtrodden whatever is all a lie. So I'm just here. Do we got enough to worry about here? Well, let me ask you this: my granddaughter, in my daughter-in-law's womb before she was born, they added on this big giant debt. You know, just a bunch more of the bailout. Didn't go to the children or anything. It was too big to fail. Went to the bad guys that should have lost the money anyway. Okay. How do you rationalize a government that's going to try to extract that money and the interest and the obligation that she has on this? How is she responsible for this debt that they've given her before she was even born?
I don't rationalize it. That's why I'm running for United States Senate. I want to get rid of this debt. I want to stop borrowing money. I want to reduce the size of government.
But
I want to get back to the
basics.
But
you're there saying, you know, that there's this tax obligations you're going to have. I mean, there's going to be this debt that they're going to have. I mean, are you going to repudiate the debt? I'm good with that. I'm going to say, you know what? It's a do-over, man. You know, just I remember when they shut down the federal government in the 90s during the Clinton administration because they wouldn't give him the budget he wanted or something. And they just say, oh, we're shutting down the federal government. And they're making a big deal out of that. And I'm like, yeah? And somebody's supposed to notice? I mean, you know, that's what got them all mad, is they were worried that, you know, nobody cared. And I'm just, and then Rush Limbaugh was going on saying, if we repudiate our debt, if we don't pay this, nobody will lend us money anymore. Well, heck, that's the best reason for not paying it off right there. You know, that's what's going to happen to Greece. That's what, you know, this sovereign debt spiral is going. And we can blah, blah, blah all you want. It's not getting paid back. But I'm looking. I got a U.S. senator that's going to go up there and is going to say, "Hey, we got this bill that's on our books. We're going to do what with it?"
Well, that bears the question: what debt? Because Greece owes money to Spain. Spain owes money to England. England owes money to Germany. Germany owes money to France. France owes
treasuries?
Money to Greece. So it's all a big circle. It's all big fake money anyway.
Well, I'm talking about U.S. Treasuries, man. There's a whole bunch of them buying now. Right now, you go and look at U.S. Treasuries, and I'll tell you. Let me look at it right now. It goes from as high as 15-16% in the early years of the Reagan administration to get people to lend us money. Well, it's plummeting. It's going down. It's now to 3.66% they're paying. That's not even a third of inflation. So why would they buy all these long-term U.S. debt at almost making, you know, minus money? It's because everything else is so bad. They feel that, you know, we're still giving it to them, so we're going to have to pay even the small amount of interest, and we got large amounts of interest from years before. So I'm just going, you know, somebody's going to want their money back. You know, China's going to be, hey, man, don't even think about just inflating your way out of this one. You know, just printing up the money and so on. That's what they're going to do. So I'm just, it's still, inflation's a tax. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just taking the value right out of my wallet, and they don't even got to take it from me. They just, you know, just give it to their buddies first, and they get the benefit, and then I get screwed. So I'm just, we have to address this issue of the next generation being saddled with this. And there's going to be a reconciliation one way or the other because it's math. But I need to have some kind of a philosophical understanding from you as going to Washington is we're going to extract it out of this next generation because the people that spent it another 10, 20 years, you know, heck, you know, 30% of them may be dead.
No, we can't take it from our kids. We can't take it from our grandkids. We have to get rid of the career politicians that have put us in this debt mess. We have to reduce the size and spending of the federal government. And then if we could do a reconciliation and just say the debt doesn't exist, I'd be all for that. That'd be great. Because I agree with you. We shouldn't be borrowing money.
Well, so we're looking at a slashing in government of what? Like you were saying, going back to the constitutional provisions. But
slashing everything. Slashing the Federal Department of Education, Department of Energy, Department of Agriculture, all these different departments that are not in the United States Constitution, slash them all.
All right. I'm with you on that. But I want to. Is there something else that you're hoping that your race has advocated that's changed people's perception of people even running for office? Because I know you get a lot of play with the tea parties, and there's a lot of them. They're always somebody meeting, you know, having tea somewhere for something. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going, you're talking to these people, and they're like, "Yeah, we like what you have to say on what's their favorite chord that you're striking with them."
The favorite chord is just elimination. Elimination of the debt, elimination of the size of the federal government, elimination of regulation, quit sending our capital outside of our country, paying debt interest, so we have capital in here to grow businesses. That's what we need, is we need more growth and more businesses, put people back to work. People want paychecks, not welfare checks, and that's what's resonating with the people. I'm expressing their frustration.
Well, what is their biggest frustration? I mean, is there, you know, you're not seeing a lot of anti-war stuff, certainly even from the left. I mean, it's like we're not at war. Nobody cares. And you spend enormous amounts of money on this thing, not an issue.
Right.
You know, we're talking about immigration, but that's has almost nothing negligible effect on the budget. You know, my libertarian thing, I don't care if you're from Montana. You're coming here taking my money. You know, they always say the compelling interest of the state. I'm like, which is what? You know, Let me tell you what, I say it's liberty, and I don't see a Mexican coming up to me, you know, an illegal immigrant or whatever you want to call him, coming up to me with a gun to my head taking my money. It's the guy in the shiny badge doing it. It's the government that's stealing from me. Mm-hmm. They're trying to transfer this on to the immigrant that they're somehow stealing. They're not stealing from me. The government is. They go, well, they're taking access to this program. And I'm going, well, stop giving them the program.
Right.
I don't understand that. You know, it's craziness. So I'm when you're talking to these people at these tea parties, do they understand that? I mean, they think that by this closing the border that will solve our economic problems? I mean, is that what they're thinking, really?
Generally, no. Generally, the real Tea Party groups are worried about jobs and the economy and getting our government under control back to, well, like we say, get rid of all these departments that are unconstitutional. That's what the people are worried about. There are some groups that are concentrated on SB 1070 and immigration, but it's a distraction. In the meantime, while they were protesting against SB 1070, Elena Kagan got confirmed, the national debt got expanded again, the financial reforms went through. The federal government is taking more and more freedoms away from us while we're watching what the shiny penny thing. So
yeah, you know, shiny objects. Take a look over here. Well, what about this Muslim mosque ground zero thing? You got an opinion on that one?
Not really. It's one of those things that I don't think it's right. I think the people that are trying to build it are, if they want to use the politically correct term, they're offending everybody else that doesn't want it built there, so they should be a little more considerate. But it's nothing that the federal government should be involved with.
I'll give you an amen on that one. The what about some of the stuff close to home here? Are we going to have an advocate for water rights? And you there? You even understand or care about the issue? Is that something that is on your plate?
Oh yeah, I care about the water rights. I do care about especially with the fight between California and the Colorado River. That's always been a fight. Arizona's actually won those battles though, so I think we're pretty solid there. It's the aquifers that are the problem now. All the aquifers in the state are depleting. There's other things too, mining, forestry. We've lost most of our forestry industry because of the Department of Agriculture. So all those things are important, and we need to have somebody that will actually go out there and say, this is what's important to Arizona, and listen to the people of Arizona and say, these are the issues we want the federal government to get out of our way, because they're stopping us from doing what we know how to do.
You know, one thing Arizona, a lot of people don't know around the country, as big as you think Arizona is, it's only probably 15-16% is actually in private hands. The rest of it is, Forest Service, it's Indian Reservation, there's gunnery ranges, it's all kinds of stuff. And I'm wondering, are you for freeing up some of the land back to the state from the federal government?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer the federal government's not supposed to own any of the land. It should belong to the states and the people. I'd like to see more private land ownership, really, and ran even less state ownership.
Well, that's one thing. Right at the end of the Clinton administration, he just shut off all kinds of access to minerals and such in a lot of the Southwest here. That's one of the first things you can do. I mean, it's even better just to go back to, it's the states here. Do what you want. Go sell. And even better, under the condition that you sell it to private parties. But then they'll consolidate in the big developers, nigga, blah, 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 blah. Here we go again. Well, I appreciate you spending time with me, Jim. I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to, just share your story and me do some hard grilling.
I appreciate that. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, and I hope you have me back.
I certainly will right after the primary. Oh, yeah, they're going to want you to do some endorsing all around. Oh, that's right. The founder of the Libertarian Party, David Nolan, is running for a U.S. Senate race, too. He's going to go, I got Jim Deacon's endorsement. the Republican Jim Deacon, 912 guy, even going to look at that Libertarian thing? I don't know. We'll find out what happens. I'm not about this endorsement thing anyway. But we'll have David Nolan on, too, because that'll be an interesting conversation. I guarantee it. Well, thanks for coming on, man. We've enjoyed having you on. I'll see you tomorrow on the radio.